same law that was given back in the book of Exodus and Leviticus. God gives the law again because it's a new generation. It's been 40 years since the law had been given. The old generation has died off, and now God gives the law again to them to remind them of God's faithfulness. Now, by the way, in the book of Deuteronomy, there were two key words. One of those key words was the word land. That was the promised land that God had promised the children of Israel. That was a land that they were going to go into, dwell in. So in the book of Deuteronomy, we actually see the theme of the book is God's faithfulness, right? God's faithfulness. You're doing very well. You ought to take notes on these, all right? At least take notes on the quiz every week. Deuteronomy talks about God's
faithfulness.
That's a little bit better, okay? Talks about God's faithfulness. God had made a promise, and God said, I will take you into a land. Now, it's been years and years and years, over 400 years, close to 500 years since God had first made that promise back to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. But God had made that promise to the children of Israel, and God was now fulfilling the promise that he had made to them. He said, I have made a promise to you, I will keep that promise, and you shall enter into the land that I have promised unto you. The second key word we saw there was the word do. Now we realize that now that God has promises for us, possessions for us, but there are conditions for us to get those promises met in our life. This book right here is full of promises for us. The Word of God is for us, and it's full of promises for us. And all we have to do is just pick out a promise and say, God, I want to claim that promise. And then just find out what our condition is to get the promise claimed. And then just do it. We find out that blessings are based on our obedience. If we're to have God's blessings in our life, we must be obedient to Him. So we must learn to be obedient in the Christian life. Let's move on now to the book of Joshua. Look first of all in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 16. Give you a little background concerning the book of Joshua. Numbers chapter 13, verse 16. Verse 16, it says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Joshua's name originally was Hoshea. Moses called him Jehoshua, or which is the same word as Joshua. So we find the writer of the book of Joshua is Joshua. Joshua wrote the book of Joshua. And his name originally was Hoshea. It later became Jehoshua by Moses, who called him Jehoshua or Joshua, meaning the same thing. The word Joshua means the Lord is my salvation, or the Lord is salvation. That's the meaning of Joshua's name. If you look in Acts chapter 7, let me show you the New Testament name for Joshua. Acts chapter 7 and verse 44. In Acts chapter 7, verse 44, the Bible says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers under the days of David. So it says here, Moses, and God gave Moses the tabernacle, and then God also talks about the one who brought the children of Israel into the possession of the Gentiles or into the promised land. And the name given to Joshua in the New Testament is the name Jesus. Joshua, remember, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, primarily, except for a few spots written in Aramaic, primarily written in Hebrew. Joshua was the Hebrew name. The New Testament is written primarily in Greek. And so we see Joshua's Greek name is actually Jesus. So the name for Joshua in the Old Testament is Joshua. Joshua's name in the New Testament is Jesus. By the way, Joshua is a perfect picture, or a good picture of Jesus also in the Old Testament. As we watch the life of Joshua and see many of the types in Joshua in the Old Testament, we see many of the things that prefigured Jesus in the New Testament. So Joshua, name originally was Hoshea, changed by Moses to Jehoshua, which means salvation, or the Lord is salvation. The New Testament name for Joshua is Jesus. And look back at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 again. Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now God had chosen Moses to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness to the promised land. But Moses was not allowed to step over into the promised land. He was allowed to take a look at the promised land, but was not allowed to step into the promised land. And so now Moses has died off, and so a new leader rises up to take Moses' place. The new leader was Joshua. Joshua was the man then that God had chosen to lead the children of Israel into Canaan land. So it was Joshua who led Israel into Canaan. Before Joshua became Israel's leader, I want you to notice three things concerning him. Look back at Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. So then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now this is the children of Israel after they left Egypt. They've traveled from Egypt. They're heading towards the promised land. They'll have a stop there in Mount Sinai. So just soon after they left Egypt, they're heading towards Mount Sinai. And on the way there, they're attacked by a group of people called the Amalekites, or the descendants of Amalek. And they're attacked there. Now look in verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And then look down in verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So soon after the children of Israel had left Egypt, now Joshua was born then in Egypt. Joshua had lived in Egypt. Joshua was a slave in Egypt, like the other Israelites were. As soon after they have left there, already Joshua is chosen by Moses to lead the children of Israel. So as a young man, he's the first general then of the children of Israel. He's the one that Moses says, Joshua, you choose out some men, go fight against these Amalekites. So first of all, we see Joshua as he led Israel in their first battle against Amalek. Secondly, look in Exodus chapter 24. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. The Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. We see, secondly, not only was he the general to Moses that led the children of Israel in battle against Amalek, but secondly, he was Moses' minister, or he was the minister of Moses. Look at Exodus chapter 32. One of my heroes in the Bible is Joshua. If you know me, you probably already have figured that out from the name of my son. But one of the heroes in the Bible is Joshua. Probably my greatest hero outside of Jesus is Moses. And Moses was, man, I hate to get to the end of Deuteronomy. If you've noticed, I like the first five books of the Bible. Maybe you've noticed that. I enjoy Genesis through Deuteronomy. I enjoy Moses. Moses is my hero in the Bible. I hate to get to the end of the book of Deuteronomy because that's when Moses dies. And I hate to get to that point. But I get to the second best hero in the Bible. I got so many heroes in the Bible, it's hard to figure out which one's the best one. When I start another book, it'll be another hero. But right now, my hero is Joshua. And Joshua is the one that now leads. He's the one that carries the burden that Moses carried. He's the one that picks up now. He was the preacher boy of Moses. He was the one that lived underneath Moses' leadership. He learned from Moses. And he is going to now lead the children of Israel as Moses' preacher boy, who now goes out and takes his own church. And he tries to lead them in the way that Moses would have led them and be led by God as Moses was led by God. In Exodus chapter 24, we saw that he was the minister of Moses. He's given that name as we see now Moses is going to go up upon Mount Sinai. And as he goes up upon Mount Sinai, who's the man that goes with him? Joshua goes with him. And Joshua stays there now at Mount Sinai as Moses goes up on the top. Moses is going to be up there for 40 days and 40 nights. So where's Joshua during these 40 days and 40 nights? Look in Exodus chapter 32, verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. He cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Now, here's the picture. Moses has gone up upon Mount Sinai. Joshua, the minister of Moses, the preacher boy of Moses, the one that wants to get around Moses and find out how Moses lives and find out what Moses does, he just wants to get around him because he's seen the power of God upon his life. He says, I want to get the power of God in my life like Moses has it. I want to be close to God like Moses is close to God. I want to learn everything I can from Moses while I'm here. And I'm going to get around him, and I'm going to be like him, and I want to learn how he gets the power of God. I want to learn how he wins souls. I want to learn how he preaches. I want to learn everything about this guy. So he just follows Moses every place he goes. Moses goes up upon Mount Sinai now, and where's Joshua? Joshua knows he can't go up there because only Moses is allowed up there. But he sits at the foot of the mountain waiting for Moses to come back. 40 days and 40 nights he doesn't know where Moses is or what's happened to Moses, but he knows he's with God. And he wants to get as close to where Moses is talking with God as he can possibly get. While the rest of the children of Israel are down in the camp, and they're turning from God, and then they're unbelief, they're turning to sin. We see Joshua sitting there at the foot of the mountain, waiting for his preacher to come back down again. A loyal man, a loyal to his preacher, a preacher boy that says, I want to be around the preacher all I can be around him. I want to be like him as much as I can be like him. I want to find out how he got the power of God in his life, how he became the soul winner he is, how he preaches like he preaches. I just want to be around him. And 40 days later, Moses comes down, and where's Joshua? Just waiting right there for him. When Moses comes down, there's Joshua down at the foot of the mountain. As they get closer to the camp, they start to hear shouting down in the camp. And Joshua says, man, they must have been in a battle down there. But it doesn't sound like the shout of a victory. And it doesn't sound like the shout of defeat. It sounds more like singing down there. And of course, as they get down, they find the children of Israel have turned from God again in their unbelief and turned to the gods of Egypt, made a golden calf, and have turned away from the God of gods and have turned to their sin away from God. But Joshua waited for his preacher. He was there when his preacher came back. He wanted to know what his preacher was doing. He wanted to be as close to God as he could get. And there's Joshua sitting there close to his preacher. Look then in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. These are probably two of my favorite stories concerning Joshua. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I like that. Here's Moses down here talking with God. And Joshua says, I want to be around the preacher when he's talking with God. And Joshua and Moses gets done talking with God, and Moses walks out. But there's Joshua still there. He said, I saw Moses talk with God. I want to stay around where God's speaking to people. I want to stay around where the man of God talked with God. And I just want to just stay around, and maybe some of it'll wear off on me. I remember as a young preacher boy, I was a teacher in Windsor Hills Baptist School. Dr. Lee Robertson walked in. I was in my office studying, and Dr. Vineyard was bringing Dr. Lee Robertson in. I stepped out of my office, and there in the hallway, I shook hands with Dr. Lee Robertson. From morning after morning, at 5:45, I walked over to that school building. I knelt on that very spot where Dr. Lee Robertson stood. I said, God, just do a little bit of what you did with Dr. Lee Robertson. Just do something. Just give me just an ounce of the power that man's got. But do something. Morning after morning after morning, I knelt on that spot and said, God, do just a part of what you did with him. If I could just have a little bit, if I could just see just a portion of the blessings that man's seen, if I could just lead just a few of the souls that man's led to the Lord, let me have just a portion of it. I've had many preachers that I've been around.
I've been the one that kind of stood around when everybody else left. I wanted to stick around and just see what the preacher does when he leaves. I want to see how the preacher locks the door. I want to see how the preacher holds his Bible. I want to see what the preacher does. How does he do what he does? How does he get the power of God in his life? I've worked for some great men and worked with great men. And I've heard many great men. And I just like to kind of hang around. After it's all over with, when I've seen people saved, I like just to say, God, give me just a portion of what they've got. Joshua was that kind of man. By the way, I believe that's why God took Joshua one day and said, Joshua, you're going to step into the shoes of Moses. It wasn't just anybody that could lead 2.5 million people. It wasn't just anybody. It was somebody that had prepared himself. It was somebody that said, Moses, you need something? I'm here. If you need somebody to lead the children of against in battle, I may have never done it before, but I'm willing to do it. You just send me out, and I'll win the victory. When Moses goes up to the mountain, he says, Moses, if you need any help, I'll be right here at the foot of the mountain. If you need anything, just call. I'll come running. I'm there, preacher. If you need something, I'll be there. And then when Moses goes into the tabernacle and talks with God, Joshua says, man, I saw my preacher talk with God here. I'm just going to stick around a little bit longer. If I can just have a portion of what God's given Moses, I'd be happy. If I could just talk with God just a second, like Moses talks with God, I'd be happy. I want to have a portion of what Moses has got. And then look in Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in the wilderness. By the way, when everybody else was murmuring against Moses, murmuring against the preacher, you find out one person wasn't. As a matter of fact, there was two that weren't. Look down in verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Here's Joshua again. They send 12 spies out, and who's one of the men they pick out to send out? Joshua. As these men go in, 10 of the spies came back with a bad report. But 2 of them came back with a good report. One of them was Caleb. And one of them was Joshua. And all the people listened to the 10 spies and the murmuring of the 10 spies that went in and said, we can't do it. And then they got mad at Moses. And they were ready to stone Moses and Aaron. And Joshua stood up and said, don't you stone the preacher. I've been in and I've seen the land. God's promised it to us. Let's go in and take the land. By the way, you'll find out Joshua was the man that God blessed. There was 12 spies that went in. 10 of them came back with a bad report and turned on the preacher. And 2 stood with them. And only 2 were blessed by God. 2 of them went in the land. And God blessed them for going into the land. Moses wasn't always right. But Moses was still the leader. Moses made a few mistakes. But Moses was still the man of God. And Joshua said, as long as he's the man of God, and as long as I'm here, I'm going to follow that man of God. I'm going to follow Moses. If everybody else turns against him, I'll stand with him. He may not always do everything right. And I may not even agree with everything he does. But he's still the preacher. And as long as he's the preacher over the children of Israel, as long as he's the leader here, he said, I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to stand by him. And if he needs any help, all he's got to do is just call, because I'm here. And I'm ready. And I'll be what Moses needs. We see that Joshua becomes a leader one day. But it just didn't happen that way. It wasn't just something he inherited. It wasn't just someday God said to Joshua, okay, Joshua, why don't you try leading the children of Israel for a while? No. It's not how it happens. If you're going to be used of God, you've got to prepare yourself to be used of God. It wasn't Joshua just one day stepping in and saying, okay, I'm going to pastor the children of Israel. No. It was God saying, Joshua, I've watched you as you led the children of Israel into battle. And you were faithful to me then. I've watched you as you had loyalty to your preacher. I've watched you as you've had as you stood there in the mount. I've watched you as you were there in the tabernacle after Moses led, and how you wanted to just kind of hang around where the presence of God was. I've watched you. You've been faithful. And you've been faithful over those few little things. When nobody else was noticing, you were still standing in the tabernacle. When nobody else really thought you were important, you were there at the foot of the mount. When nobody else was really concerned with what you were doing, you were hanging around Moses. You were loyal to him. And didn't look like you were doing much. Must not have been big jobs you were doing. But because you were faithful to the little jobs, I'm going to make you leader over the greatest nation in the kingdom on the earth. I'm going to make you leader over the children of Israel. And you'll be the one that'll go in to claim the possession that God has promised to him. It's because of his faithfulness, because of his preparation, that God eventually used him. In Joshua, we see the Israelites now possessing the land. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11. Joshua 1 verse 11, it says, "Pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth to possess it." We see now the children of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, now finally go in to possess the land. That gives us the theme of the book of Joshua, claiming your possessions. Claiming your possessions. We've already seen that God has some promises for us. That's pictured in the land that was promised to the children of Israel. God has some things for us. God has some possessions for us. And he has them out there and says, all you got to do is just claim those possessions. They're yours. Just claim them. We see back in the book of Deuteronomy, we saw the two key words were the word land, God's faithfulness to keep his promise, and the word do, our condition of obedience to God's promise. Deuteronomy, we saw the condition of God. By the way, and the land was in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Notice it says, the last part of that verse, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. In verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. In verse 6, the last part of that verse says, I swear unto their fathers to give to them. In verse 11, it says, go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. In verse 13, the last part of the verse says, your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. In verse 15 it says, and the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also that possess the land which the Lord your God giveth them. I want you to notice this. The land was a gift from God. It was God's gift to them. Say, did they earn the land? No, they couldn't have earned the land. It was a gift from God. You can't earn God's gifts, and more than you can earn God's heaven. It's because of God's mercy that we have his possessions. That land was a gift to the children of Israel. Not because of what the children of Israel were. It was because of who God is that he gave the land to them. Now realize this. What we get from God is a gift from God. Don't you ever walk around saying, what I've got is because of who I am. No. The only thing you and I deserve is hell. That's all we deserve. Any blessings that God pours out upon us is his gift because of his mercy. Not because of our goodness. Not because of we are deserving. But because of God's mercy that we receive his gifts. But we learned also, in God's mercy, God has put conditions upon those blessings. We are to be obedient to him, and in our obedience, God in his mercy gives us his blessings. You don't earn them. You just simply meet the conditions that God has for you. The condition that God had for you to get saved was you got to trust Jesus as your Savior. Salvation's a gift, but you still got to trust Jesus. The condition on receiving that gift is trusting Jesus. You can just take any gift that God has for you, any promise God has in the Bible, and find out what the condition for meeting that promise is. Many times we like to claim the possessions, but we're not willing to meet the conditions. And we say God's not faithful. No, God is faithful. God will every time in the world keep his promise if you'll meet his conditions every time. God is faithful. Man is unfaithful. God will keep his promise. It's man that won't go to God and do what God has said. We need to realize one of the most important things in the Christian life for us to learn is just simply to learn to obey. Now, I want you to notice now in Joshua, we learned in Deuteronomy that the land was a possession, a gift of God. We saw also that in order to get the gifts of God, we must meet the conditions of God. And by the way, God always makes the conditions easy. Getting saved is easy. All you got to do is trust the Lord. Trust Jesus as your Savior, and God saves you. And so God puts conditions, but every condition that God placed upon us or in our obedience, the basis we see now in Joshua, the basis for our obedience is faith. That's the basis for our obedience to Christ or to God is faith. Now I want you to understand this now. If you'll get this thing right here, if you can get this thing down, this will probably be one of the most important principles in the world for the Christian in claiming your possessions from God. God is teaching us here in the book of Joshua how you can live in God's blessings. He's teaching you here how to claim your possessions. God has gifts for you. He wants to give them to you. He is merciful to us. But many of us never live in the blessings of God, never claim our possessions because of a lack of faith. You think about this. Before I will obey God, I must believe God. If I don't believe God, I'll not obey God. If I don't believe Romans chapter 10, verse 13, I won't get saved. I've got to by faith say, God said if I'll call upon the name of the Lord, he would save me. So by faith, I claim that possession, salvation. I claim heaven by faith. Take Romans chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know why most folks, my many Christians, don't live with having their needs met? It's because they don't meet the condition for having their needs met. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We want to seek everything else in the world instead of seeking God first. And then as a last resort, we'll go to God. But God says you seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now God may put you through some tests in seeking him first. He may say, he may look like you're serving him, and he throws some things down upon you and say, man, how am I going to have my needs met? I'll show you how you get your needs met by seeking him first. God will always keep his promise every time in the world. If he quits seeking his promise, I'll quit preaching this book. If he quits keeping his promises, I'll quit preaching this book. If he's not going to keep his promises, every one of us are wasting our time here. We're better off on some lake someplace trying to catch a 5-pound bass, amen? But as long as he's going to keep keeping his promises, I'm going to keep preaching this book right here. And by the way, God has never failed yet. And I don't expect he's going to fail in the future either. We claim his promises through obedience to him, but we're obedient to him by faith. You take the promise in Psalms 37, verse 14, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God has promised to give the desires of our heart. Why? If we meet the condition, delight thyself in the Lord. That means we can have the desires of our heart, but the condition is delighting ourselves in the Lord. Delighting, that means just be happy about serving him. Just get involved in serving Jesus and just delight yourself in it. Just say, glory to God, I get to serve Jesus today. Hallelujah, I'm glad that God has chosen me for the task he's got for me. So it does get hard. Just delight yourself in the Lord. You'll get re-blessings for it. You'll claim your possessions for it. But we've got to, here's what most Christians do. Most Christians are atheistic in their belief. Now realize this. If you believed God, you'd obey him. You know the reason you don't obey him? Because you don't believe him. You say, well, preacher, I believe there's a God in heaven. Yeah, you believe there's a God there, but you don't believe what he said is true. Because if you believed what he said was true, you'd find everything he said and you'd do it. But the truth of the matter is, we just don't believe it. We say, well, this Christianity is okay. And I'll, as long as it doesn't cramp my style any, I'll serve God. As long as I don't have to give up too much, then I'll serve the Lord. As long as I don't have to get fanatical about this thing, I'll serve Jesus. Know what you're saying? You don't think, you don't believe that God can work miracles in your life. You don't believe it. If you believed seeking Him first would meet all your needs, you'd seek Him first, if you really believe that. Truth of the matter is, we don't believe it, so we try to do everything else to get our needs met instead of seeking God first. You put Jesus first. Folks say, well, I'm busy doing this and busy doing that. I've got to do it to make ends meet. No, you serve Jesus to make ends meet. That's how you make ends meet. You don't make ends meet putting your job first. You make ends meet putting Jesus first. You say, preacher, if I started putting Jesus first, I'd lose my job. You don't believe Jesus could take care of you, do you? You don't believe it. That's why you won't do it. The reason we don't obey God is because we don't really believe that what He said is true. Because if we did, we'd just go ahead and do it, no matter what the consequences were. We'd just obey God. The whole key to obedience is faith. You know why you won't step out by faith? Because you don't believe God can take care of you. That's why. You know why you won't be faithful in church and faithful to soul winning? Because you just don't believe God's going to bless you for doing it. You don't believe God. You think, as long as I don't upset the apple cart here, everything will be just fine. Yeah, look out. It's going to get upset anyway. You may as well just go ahead and serve God. The reason we don't obey this book right here is because we're a bunch of atheists in the Christian life. And most Christians that call themselves saved and say, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, don't believe this book any more than the atheist that says, I don't believe in God. And how foolish we are not to take the promise of God and say, God, You said it. I don't care what comes along, You said it. I don't care what happens in my life, You said it. And I'm just going to believe You. I don't care how many trials come into my life. God said it, and I'm just going to believe Him. Say, preacher, I tried to serve God, and all I've got is problems. Well, just keep serving Him. Just keep serving Him. Eventually, you're going to live in the blessings of God. But you better prove that you can live in the blessings of God first. Why do you think God's got a few tests there for you? Most Christians, man, they're satisfied to live in mediocrity. They're satisfied to live on the fringe of Christianity and not get underneath the spouts of the blessings of God by just stepping out by faith and said, God, You said it. Here's what we do. But that's for somebody else. Yeah, because you don't believe it, do you? So, well, that's in the Old Testament. Yeah, because you don't believe God, do you? Well, that's for the children of Israel. Don't you think if God could take care of the children of Israel, He could take care of you? Don't you think He could do it? Why don't you just claim His promises? You say, God, You said it. And by faith, I'm going to do it. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find out there's some things we've got to do to get God's blessings. Now in the book of Joshua, we find out what the basis for our doing is. It's by faith. In Joshua, look at Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. There's two verses that kind of give us the summary of the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, which we've already read, and in Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, is the second verse I want you to see. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance into Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, it says they were to go in to the land. That's the first thing. Then he says they took the whole land in verse 23. Then it says Joshua gave it for an inheritance, and then the land rested. So we see four basic things in those two verses. And by the way, the whole book of Joshua can divide it into those four parts right there. According to Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, and Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, we see actually a summary of the entire book of Joshua. Let me go over very quickly with you then the outline of the book of Joshua. First of all, in Joshua chapter 1 through 4, we see entering the land. Entering the land. Now, I haven't got time to go over all those things, but let me give it to you very quickly. The children of Israel, back in Numbers chapter 13, decided to not go into the land. Why did they not go into the land? Because of unbelief. Look in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 23. In Joshua, also some spies are sent into the land. But notice the report they bring back in verse 23. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell them. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Why were they able to enter the land? The reason they couldn't enter the land 40 years earlier was because of unbelief. The reason they were able to enter the land now was because of faith. They entered the land because of faith. Secondly, in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, we see conquering the land. Look in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None came out, went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Notice before they went into Jericho, the Lord said unto Joshua. He said, here's how you're going to take the land of Jericho. Look in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. Because they did not consult the Lord, they lost the battle at Ai. But then they went back to the Lord in chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Why were they able to defeat Ai? Because the Lord said. Look in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 8, they would have victory over those kings because the Lord said. In Joshua chapter 11 and verse 6, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up into all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Why were they able to make the final conquest upon Canaan? Because the Lord said. Not only did they enter the land by faith, but they conquered the land by faith. Say, preacher, what's faith? Faith is just believing God. That's all faith is. Just find out what God said and just believe it. How many times when they were conquering the land did the Bible say, and the Lord said unto Joshua? And Joshua said, God said it, let's do it. They did it by faith. If God said we're going to have the victory, then we're going to have the victory. By the way, we find out in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that we can have the victory. And how is the victory? Through our faith. The victory, even our faith. Faith is the victory. So not only did they enter the land because of faith, but they were able to have victory in the land because of faith. Say, preacher, I just have a hard time. I'm fighting some battles right now, and it just doesn't seem like I'm getting ahead. How am I going to get ahead? Find a promise of God. Claim it. Believe it. Do what the condition says, by faith. Faith is a victory. So we find in the book of Joshua, not only do we have possessions that God has given to us, the gift of God, and that there are conditions for those, but the basis for meeting those conditions, a basis for obedience, is faith. Look in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. The third section of the book of Joshua is dividing the land. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now Joshua is old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshurai. Look down at verse 7. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance on the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. We see again, as they're dividing the land, how did they know how to divide the land? Because the Lord said. We see several verses while they're dividing the land that the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, divide the land. Matter of fact, look in chapter 14, verse 5. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Not only did they enter the land by faith, not only did they conquer the land by faith, but they divided the land by faith. Everything they did because God said to do it. Everything they said, God, how do we divide the land? And God told them how to do it, and they just did it because God said it.
Then in chapters 22 through 24, look in chapter 24, verse 15. The land had been entered. The land had been conquered by faith. The land had been divided amongst the children of Israel by faith. And now the land's already entered, it's been conquered, it's been divided. And now in chapters 22 through 24, we find the children of Israel living in the land. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, it says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of the and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that you have done your good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Entered the land by faith. They conquered the land by faith. They divided the land by faith. And they lived in the land by faith. Joshua said, "I don't know what you're going to do. You can either follow the gods of the Amorites here in the land, or you can follow God. Now, it doesn't matter to me what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." By the way, you can look around this world, and you can find a lot of those that put the tag Christian on their forehead. But they don't serve the Lord any more than the atheists that walk the street. They haven't done any more for getting folks out of hell and getting folks into heaven than Madeline Murray O'Hare. Yet they call themselves Christian. I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Living by faith. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, if there's one thing in the world that I'd like to have every member of this church to learn, and that is how to live in the blessings of God upon their life. I see so much heartache. See so much trouble, so much pain, and yet we can live within your blessings. If we can just learn to just take this book and just believe it, I mean just base our life upon it, everything we do, we believe this book, help us to believe it, and help us to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen.